It's time for You Talking to Me with your host, Big JD.
Cartooning and animation has captured the hearts of children for many years, and even some of us big kids still can't get enough of watching our favorite old cartoons, albeit we're watching clips on YouTube now or other online sources. And here to talk about graphic arts and animation is professional artist Sean Watkins of SeanToon.com. Hi, Sean.
Hey, how you doing, Big JD?
Doing good. It's great to have you on the show. Now, did art come natural for you, or was it something that you learned?
It was all natural. I kind of tell people when they ask me that question, I always say it was a God-given talent, and I just kind of fell into it and decided to, you know, to take it a little bit further as a young guy to, you know, a 43 young guy now.
Mm-hmm. Did you actually, something that I wanted to ask you too was, did you ever teach? Did you do any teaching?
Just small. I'm currently teaching at our local church.
Okay.
And I have a class once a week there, and it's fun. It's kind of open to like the kids and the big kids, the kids that like to do stuff to where, you know, it brings back some of their childhood memories of always wanting to draw but never doing it. So I got some people that are in their 60s. You know, 60s and up in the class, which is kind of fun.
Now, is it just pretty much drawing, like sketching, that kind of thing?
Yeah, the first session, we kind of look at cartooning as kind of like looking at objects differently and breaking them down to their basic element, which it would be either a circle, a square, or a triangle. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of take the circle, square, triangle and build up from there and try to get people to think in ways of, you know, looking at objects or looking at, you know, things and just kind of saying, okay, so how would you break that down to its basic elements? And so, you know, we start from there and we just kind of work our way up.
Okay, I'm sure a lot of people don't realize that breaking something down to a simpler elements is a much better approach for drawing things that people might think are complicated.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, it's really mind-blowing when you look at something and you think, oh, that's amazing. How did they do that? But when you take it a little bit, like looking at it in a different manner, you know, to its basic shape, then you kind of start, you know, seeing the secret behind things.
Sure, right. But in all admission, when you're finished, you know, you have your finished product, even breaking something down to its basic elements for most people, you know, they're not going to achieve the result that, you know, what I've seen out of your work, obviously.
Well, it's called abstract.
Right. How old were you when you first started drawing?
I started noticing that I had the gift when I was about 6 years old, 6, 7 years old.
Okay.
And I just started out drawing from dictionaries of all places, looking through dictionaries and looking at the illustrations that were used in books and things like that, and just it captivated me, and so I thought, well, you know, I want to try to draw that. And so I just sit down with my pencil and paper and see if I could mimic, you know, what I saw. And that's when I started seeing that, you know what, this is pretty easy. And I started sharing it with friends at school and teachers.
What I find interesting about you mentioning the dictionary is that, especially, you know, at that time, now there's online dictionaries and you get dictionaries on CD-ROM and you have the picture dictionaries and things like that. But obviously, the dictionaries that you were looking at were probably like just simple line art drawings in them, right?
Yeah, the old-fashioned black and white. Yeah.
That's sort of surprising that that really caught your attention, because they're not like colorful, like the kinds of things that you think would attract kids, you know, all the colorful stuff, which I'm sure you did out of books too. But it's interesting that you were, you know, attracted to the art in the book, no matter what it looked like, really.
Yeah. And then from there, I just started looking at things, you know, and drawing, you know, cereal boxes. I had a fascination with animals and drawing them, tigers and lions and deer mounts, mounted deer heads on the wall and stuff like that. And I would just sit there for hours, you know, figuring out, you know, how to illustrate them right onto paper, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's been a wild learning process, but definitely a fun one.
Yeah, I definitely want to get into talking a little bit more about animals, because I know that you do a lot of animal art. When did you know that you wanted to do this professionally?
When I saw that, you know, security guard work wasn't for me. You know, I was security guard for a couple of years, and then I started getting projects, and some of the projects that I had gotten were like high paying projects, and I was like, wow, you guys really want to pay me this kind of money to do this work. Okay, I'll do that then. So I decided to venture off from my current day-to-day job. I just never really fit into the 9-to-5 kind of category, just lacking desire or ambition, really, you know, to succeed in anything else.
Now, when you mentioned the security guard job, I'm assuming that you had some kind of sketch pad, and did you do some art while you were working those jobs?
Yeah, I did, and you know, I still paid attention to what I was doing, but there was a lot of lag time in the middle of the night from, you know, doing the night security.
Now, you're an artist, you draw, you're also a graphic artist. What distinguishes one from the other? Because you do so much more than just draw. I mean, you're drawing on the computer. You work with text as well as get more into web design. So kind of back to that question, how do you distinguish sort of, I guess, art from a graphic artist? Or is it just totally the same thing?
You know what? That's a really good question. I've thought about this, you know. Other people have asked me, you know, are you an illustrator? Are you a graphic design artist? Are you a graphic artist and a cartoonist, animator? They all kind of follow suit, don't they? Because, you know, you can take like lettering and alter that lettering and turn it into like some kind of object or add something to it that could, you know, be a really nice, good-looking logo. Mm-hmm. And that would be considered, I guess, graphic design. And I've always considered myself to be kind of well-rounded in all the different fields. I don't really know how to define that question, because to me, you know, when someone asks me to do a logo design, I do a logo design, you know, whether they use it on print ads or t-shirts, you know, my part was done, and, you know, how they use it from there is up to them. If they want to manipulate it to have shadow or, you know, over a different image, you know, I guess it's just all in, you know, what you're doing with the actual object that was created.
I guess it kind of boils down to what you were talking about earlier about objects being brought down to a simpler form, that everything's kind of under that umbrella of simply art. And then there's, I guess, graphic art and web design, all these different things that come into play, I suppose. An illustrator kind of fall under the same umbrella.
Yeah. I mean, I just kind of take in everything, like you said, like just as art, you know? Mm-hmm. For me, just keeping it simple is the only thing that I try to do mostly nowadays is make whatever I'm doing, you know, very simplified.
Now let's talk about some of your specialty areas. I know you love animal art. Tell us about that and what it is about drawing animals that you like so much.
They don't talk back. you know, the thing with doing animals and stuff like that, you have a kind of like an open range to twist and mold however you see the animal, right? So you have a dog, and let's say that, you know, you want to give that dog some kind of either human form or, you know, super expressive. I enjoy giving them those kinds of elements. You know, it's something that I find kind of like different than just a picture of a dog, you know, or a picture of a cat or some kind of you know, wild safari animal. There's so much there that you can do and build from and stuff like that. I suppose you could do the same thing with humans, obviously, but I don't know. I've always tend to do more things with animals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was going to be my next question, actually, about do you find that you can do more with them than humans? And you answered that, so that's cool. And now, do you draw everything from memory, or do you also incorporate the use of photos or even tracing if it warrants it?
Oh, yeah, definitely. The people that say that they don't trace or anything like that, well, there's no shame in tracing something to get what you need from that, you know. But I still trace just to be accurate, or if I'm tracing, I'll use something from one thing and convert it over to another thing. So I'm kind of combining the two. Like, for instance, I'm in a current project right now. I'm doing a large illustration, and the customer, what he wants is his dog's head, but he wants it looking like a comic book dog, but he wants that comic book dog to be in a astronaut suit. So I'm taking the dog's head and I'm applying it to an astronaut, you know, but I'm doing it, you know, using tracing methods, just because, you know, I know this customer and I know that he's very particular about, you know, his dog. So I want to make it as accurate as possible. Right. And still give it that hand-drawn look, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Now, how has technology changed the way you work? I'm assuming you work with a graphics tablet and the use of those, because I know they have many features like pressure sensitivity and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I currently got a Wacom tablet that's the Cintiq, the one that you actually draw, the screen that you draw on, which is phenomenal. Like you just said, it's pressure sensitive. So if I push down hard, I get darker lines, and if I, you know, just lightly do a stroke, it gives you that nice smooth white, you know, light line. And the whole process of the cool thing about the Wacom is, you know, there's no scanning involved. It's just being put into the computer for you, so you don't have to go back and do a lot of different steps. You know, it's once you do it in the computer, then it's there. It sure is a time saver, especially if you're on a crunch, you know, designing something.
Do you not use paper anymore at all, or?
I do use paper a lot less, you know. Definitely saves on buying a lot of paper, especially if I'm out and I'm teaching or something like that, you know. I'm teaching the kids or something, or I'm out and about and I need to just sketch something real quick, you know. The Wacom tablet's not, you know, portable enough to where you could just kind of carry it off with you and stuff. But I'm sure that, you know, they're working on that with today's apps and stuff.
Mm-hmm. And what software do you use mainly on the computer?
Sketchbook Pro by Autodesk. It's the same people that bring you Maya, that really high intense 3D software.
Sure.
And all the Adobe Suite CS5.
Mm-hmm. So Adobe Flash.
Yeah, Adobe Flash. Mainly Adobe Flash. All my illustrations, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I know that you're into doing web design as well, and you do that Flash-based as well. And what's kind of the difference between Flash-based sites or, you know, regular HTML, CSS-type websites?
My lack of knowledge in the others. I'm kind of like not very book savvy, so, you know, it's hard for me to sit down and read a bunch of code or come up with code and stuff, and I just don't really get it. But with Flash, it seems like, you know, I can do a page or, you know, go to this or go to that kind of command versus sitting down with a bunch of text and stuff like that, code. It's probably not, you know, what people would consider to be the best way to get your website on there, but I know it's the fastest way for me to get a website up.
Actually, what I find interesting about that is the fact that what I perceive Flash websites to be more difficult, and those are the ones that's what you find easier to do, and I guess that all comes from your interpretation and knowledge as an artist, you know?
Yeah.
It comes natural.
Yeah, I've been using Flash since it, you know, back in the Macromedia days.
Mm-hmm.
When it was still Macromedia, and I had started out using it as kind of a tool to kind of do animation and stuff, and I was just amazed back in the early 90s, you know, just how you could do stuff on the computer in this program and with ease.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk to Sean about animation.
If you have an interesting career or an interesting life experience that you'd like to share with others, you can contact me, Big JD, at the You Talking To Me website, youtalkingtome.ca. That's the letter U, talking, the number two, me, youtalkingtome.ca.
All right, we're back. You're listening to You Talking To Me. I'm Big JD, and I have Sean Watkins of SeanToon.com, an artist and animator. Now, you work in 2D animation using Adobe Flash and Sketchbook Pro. There must be the fun aspect in there as well as the work. Now, did you watch a lot of cartoons as a kid?
Oh, buddy, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, back in Captain Kangaroo days, kind of, and, you know, Underdog, you know, those kind of things, like, really influenced me and stuff to want to do cartoons. The Hanna-Barbera cartoons and also all the Disney, you know. I think in some way, shape, or form, Disney and Hanna-Barbera have really kind of influenced all the young generation of my generation, you know, that were interested in doing cartooning, you mm-hmm. know, in some way, shape, or form.
And you still watch cartoons today?
Yes.
I guess you would. You have kids,
My daughter's 5 years old, and mm-hmm. I have no choice but to watch cartoons a lot of times. But then again, I really don't mind, because I love the stories, and I love all the work that goes into them. I really appreciate it.
Let's talk about some of the key concepts in animation. Tell us about some of these things, like, start out with, like, using layers. What's the idea behind layers?
The idea behind layers, like, when you're doing animation or when you're doing, like, an illustration?
I guess more when you're doing animation.
When you're doing animation, it's kind of cool in Flash adding different layers to things, because you can manipulate each frame by frame and add new elements, like a blinking eye. Well, you have, like, you know, so many, like, four or five different frames to add that to that blinking eye, and adding, you know, certain highlights to that eye, if you will, as you close it and stuff like that. You have the, you know, the eyelash, the eyebrow, the squint as it closes and stuff like that, to add, you know, on top of one another and stuff.
So I guess, yeah, I mean, having a brow and having the eyelashes, if they're on the same layer, you can't really move one without the other kind of
thing. Right. So adding layers is definitely, you know, especially when it comes to like flash and stuff like that, it makes it a lot easier.
And then you mentioned frames. What is it that the frames do, or also keyframes?
The different things in flash, like starting out with like a ball, and then taking it to like one side of the page to the other side of the page, and keeping all those different keyframes, and being able to like add an onion skin so you can view your progression as it goes across the, you know, from one side to the next. I just like the method, really. I mean, it's a wonderful tool. I mean, but, you know, I'm kind of torn because the 2D, the old way of doing 2D animation on a scene chart and looking at that, you know, just, there's something about that that just says, you know, that's so old school and it's so cool, you know?
Does onion skinning help with that, though?
Yeah, the onion skinning, I got to say, the digital stuff is just far more superior as far as not having to have all this, like, light box and, you know, flipping through different sheets of paper and stuff like that. But then again, when you look at, you know, what old animators had to do back in the day to, you know, do animation, you just have this, like, love and... You know, it's like making a piece of furniture like the old way, the old school way, right. You know, having all these hand tools, and they had to, you know, sand things down to, you know, get the shape that they wanted and stuff like that. So it's kind of like how I look at it. It's just a neat process. But today, everything is so fast. Everybody wants things so fast and stuff like that. In today's market, that you got to be competitive, and you got to be able to, you know, to get to the thing that you're doing to them quickly and stuff.
Yeah, and that's a good point that you bring up, actually, about getting things done quick and clients wanting things done faster nowadays, is the fact that back in the day when they were using these light boxes and the way of doing things when they used and what did you call that with the
peg boards and stuff like that, flipping the pages. Yeah,
it would have to be so many people. People don't realize that when they watch an old Bugs Bunny cartoon or something, like how many people actually worked on animating those things and drawing the characters.
Yeah, hundreds of people. It's just crazy, mind-boggling. Like even Little Mermaid, when you look at all the amount of animators and artists. You know, not just the animator, but also the storyboard artists, the people that were behind the scenes, the people that did all the background. You know, there's something just beautiful about that, you know. Although, you know, today, to put out an animated film like that is so costly and stuff.
Sure.
You know.
And how important is storyboarding? Do you do much storyboarding, or is there a need for that in the work that you do?
Yeah, I mean, the work that I do, whenever a client does ask me to do a storyboard, kind of like a line art storyboard, just to give them kind of a rough look at, you know, what they're seeing in their mind, gives them a better perspective of angles and, you know, when does this character come in? You know, how much time should elapse before we introduce this guy and stuff? I haven't done storyboard very much, but, you know, what I have done, I've really enjoyed it because it gives me a better look at the character actor. Because when you look at the actual character sheets and, you know, you want them to act out a certain way through the story, then it's nice to have a storyboard.
And who are some of the clients that you've done work for? I know one in particular is somebody that had done some work on Hanna-Barbera's Flintstones.
Yeah, I worked for the CEO, the son of the CEO of Hanna-Barbera, Dan Meacham. And he, about I guess it was like a year and a half ago, he started doing his own shows and decided to break, you know, out into the gaming, and he's doing gaming and also deals with Disney and what do you call it, Reveille, the people that do Biggest Loser and all those shows like The Office and stuff like that. So he's doing really, really well. And it was really kind of educational for me to have the opportunity to work for a studio like that, you know. But they're out in California. I'm in Boise, Idaho. So they kind of have their own people out there in California.
Now, with so many of the films and stuff like that being 3D these days that Pixar and Disney are doing, where is the place nowadays, I guess, for 2D? I know, like, movies of late, like Scooby-Doo and Tom and Jerry and the Jetsons and things like that are still 2D animation, right?
Yeah.
Still got its place?
Yeah, definitely. I don't think 2D animation is going to go away. I think, in fact, you know, with all of the shows that you're seeing that are coming on, even this year, are all done in 2D animation, and a lot of those are done in Flash. So I don't foresee 2D animation ever going anywhere. In fact, it might even go bigger than 3D animation, or a combination of the two, using some of the cartoons that I've seen where they've implemented 3D animation along with 2D. Has really worked well.
Have you ever done, kind of branched out into other things like comic books and things of that nature?
Yeah, I'm currently working back with the original writer. He's a good friend of mine. When we worked at a title company together, we started a comic strip called Tuna Island. I've been talking to him recently, and he wants to start the comic strip again. Yeah, so I'm kind of excited about it, and we're going to see if we can get Tuna Island back on track and get any bites out there, anybody interested in it, carrying it.
So will that be something that you'll actually have on the web?
Yeah, I've secured the name Tuna Island again, tunaisland.com.
Okay.
And so I'll probably be posting up some new comic strips here, you know, in the near future and stuff like that. I have him working on it, and he's working on a couple of new strips and stuff like that. There's just so many funny things going on today in the political arena that you just can't help but want to, you know, put your opinion out there on it.
Sure, by using a comic strip.
Yeah, exactly.
Your website is shontoon.com, and that's shontoon.com.
That's really the best place to go. And once you get to the website, then you can use some of my illustrations on another website that I've posted a lot more work on.
One thing before we close, Sean, what kind of advice would you give to maybe final year university students that are in, you know, graphic arts and animation, that kind of thing, as far as, getting out there in the working world or possibly freelancing? What would you say to somebody that's just finishing school?
Draw. I mean, really just draw. And no matter what teachers tell you, if they are always on you about how you're drawing, don't listen to them, because you can see what is out there today on the market. And, you know, it's people that are just having fun and enjoying doing what they do, what they love. And so you can see that with a lot of the today's characters and stuff like that. And don't give up. Just keep pushing through.
Great advice, Sean. I appreciate that. Thanks. Really appreciate you being on the show, Sean. Thanks for taking us through the world of animation.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
All right. Sean makes art and animation sound like a fun career, but it's true, there's a lot of hard work involved as well. Take a look at Sean's work at shontoon.com. It's shontoon.com. Next week on the show, Paranormal Investigation with Michigan-based Oakland Paranormal. See you then, and thanks for listening.